Spirit. Let me read something to you that I found. And they actually have done studies, and they said, forgive and forget. Easier said than done, right? Well, now studies are showing forgiveness is not only good theology, amen, which is what we've already been saying, is not only good theology, but it's good medicine as well. According to the latest medical and psychological research, forgiving is good for our souls and our bodies. People who forgive benefit from better immune functioning and lower blood pressure, have better mental health than people who do not forgive, feel better physically, have lower amounts of anger and few symptoms of anxiety and depression, maintain more satisfying and long-lasting relationships.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Power of Forgiveness in Relationships. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Power of Forgiveness in Relationships.
An affair, why? Because they're trying to get back at their mate. They figure, you hurt me this way, and I'm going to try to hurt you that same way. What a crazy way to do that. It's just like the little boy, he was in his room, and the mother was in the living room, and the little boy was hollering, oh, oh, and the mother ran down the hall and came to find out that his little sister was in there pulling his hair, and he was screaming. He said, oh, oh, and the mother told the little girl, stop, and she stopped. And then she began to try to, you know, talk to the little boy and said that, you know, now she's sorry. Now tell him that you're sorry. And she said, I'm sorry. She said, now you have to forgive him. And he said, I forgive you. She said, yeah, one thing that you need to understand, son, is that, you know, she doesn't know how that feels to hurt. You know, when she was pulling your hair like that, she didn't know how it felt to hurt. And so the mother left out of the room, and she thought everything was cool. She walked down, and all of a sudden she hears a little girl screaming, oh, oh! And she came back and said, what's wrong? The little boy said, now she knows how it feels to hurt. See, and that's what we want to do sometimes. You know, we want to let people know, you know, how they've hurt us. And if I withhold my forgiveness, then you can begin to sense a little bit what this hurt that I'm dealing with is. What are some steps that lead to a spirit of unforgiveness? Well, in the notes, I've put it there. So there are a couple steps that actually lead to this place of forgiveness. We see first that a person has been hurt or offended. A person has been hurt or offended by a certain incident and situation. And see, that's why, you know, Paul said in Hebrews, or not Paul, the writer of Hebrews, said that we need to be on guard looking for any root of bitterness that springs up. So as we go through our daily lives, that we need to be on guard because there are things, offenses, there are wounds, there are hurts that will sneak up, and before we know it, it'll grab a hold of us. And so the wise person, you know, doesn't go through life, you know, tiptoeing through the tulips, but the wise person goes through life, you know, realizing that there's opportunities for offense. I was driving yesterday, and I was making a turn. And as I was making a turn, somebody was coming down. It was a narrow road, and this person came down. And we were like, one of us was going to have to move. But I couldn't move. I mean, there was no room on my side. And he had a little bit of room on his side to move. So I just sat in my car, and I went like this. I just looked at him, and then he started saying something. I don't know what he was saying, but you could tell he was verbally saying something. I just sat there like this, and then he opened his door, and he stepped out, and I just sat there like this. I just sat there looking at him. I didn't change my expression, didn't change my look. I just looked at him like that, and then I guess, as they say, he got his jollies off because he called me a name. I'm not going to tell you what he called me. He called me a name. And then by that time, traffic was backing up. I mean, I was on road out road, and it was backing up both ways. And people started blowing the horn. I didn't change my expression. He got in his truck, and he pulled off. I'm saying, man, you went through all that, and all you had to do was just move over and drive down the street. But you had to go through all that. Now, see, back in the day, the old Bill Glaze. Back in the day, the old Bill Glaze. All right? I might have been reaching up underneath my seat. No. But you got to constantly be on the lookout. I mean, there's always something that will sneak up on you, and before you know it, it'll get you just like that. And so when we get in relationships, you know, just like, I was going along my merry way. Just came back from doing a home-going service. Man, going on my merry way. And all of a sudden, just like that, you know, it shows you how quick that things can change. And so, I just, in my spirit, I said, you know what? I said, I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to allow this person to rattle me. As the deodorant commercial said, don't let them see you sweat. I said, I'm just going to sit here and look at him. I said, in my mind, that was, and I knew it was the Holy Spirit. You know, that was the first thing that came. Just sit there and look at him. All right? Now, if he'd have went back to his truck and got something, then I would have been doing something different. I ran up on the curb or something, but but I know, and so we got to be on the lookout because offenses happen. Man, when you get in a relationship, you know, sometimes things will happen to you, and have you ever been like this? You know, what in the world just happened here? Wow. Everything was sailing along smooth, and everything was going fine, and then, man, how did we get to this point? You know, what just happened here? So, you never know what's going on in the heart and the mind of another person. And you never know what it's going to take to set them off or what you might do to set them off. And so you've got to be on the lookout. So what happens after this offense takes place? Well, we see then the person becomes wounded and they get angry. And now, you know, they've got this anger that's welling up in them. And then what do? Instead of casting it off, instead of going and trying to deal with this thing spiritually, what do they ruminate on it? They chew on it, and they swallow it, and they bring it back up, and they chew on it, and swallow it, and bring it back up, and they just can't let it go. And then finally what happens is that now there's bitterness, and there's an unforgiving attitude that takes place. An unforgiving attitude that takes place. And, you know, I was thinking, I said, how is it that, you know, relationships that can be so at one point solid, you know, even, you know, I think about, you know, like a lot of young people that when they're dating and stuff like that, and how that, you know, there's all bright-eyed and starry-eyed and everything, and then something happens and then both folks get ugly. You know, I was reading some breakup lines that people wrote to each other. One guy wrote and said, "You're the reason why our kids are so ugly." Another person said, "My wife ran off with my best friend, and I sure do miss him." One lady said, "If my nose were a bag full of nickels, I'd blow them all on you." And then one lady told her husband, "I'd be afraid to take you to a dog fight because you might win." You know, what happened here? What happened to all the lovey-doveyness? What happened to all the starry-eyed? What happened to all the bright-eyed? See, what happened is that there was an offense, and it built up, and you refused to deal with it, and now you become this bitter, angry, unforgiving person that makes you say things like this right here. As we look at a picture of unforgiveness, what is a picture of unforgiveness? Well, a picture of unforgiveness, if you look at your notes, it means that you are cold. The cold emotions of resentment, bitterness, anger, hostility, and perhaps hatred that motivate people to seek revenge or avoid a person whom they perceive as having offended or harmed them. Wow, that's a deep definition of unforgiveness. Man, you just think. Now, I'm going to read that definition again. But as I read that definition, I want you to think about your relationships and think, is there anybody that you feel this way towards? Cold emotions of resentment, bitterness, anger, hostility, and even perhaps hatred that motivates you to seek revenge or to avoid a person that you perceive as having offended you or harmed you. Is there anybody that you feel that way towards today? What is the mandate? The mandate is that God has forgiven us, and we have to forgive each other. Whereas on the flip side, the picture of forgiveness is the emotions of non-possessive love or compassion that reduce the cold emotion of unforgiveness, that reduce the motivation to exact revenge or avoid the person, and promote a desire for conciliation or reconciliation if doing so is safe, prudent, and possible. So what is that saying? That's saying that, man, you're willing to deal with the issues. You're willing to get rid of these issues, these feelings that you have. And I'm going to show you how to do that here in a second. We're going to talk about how can you forgive. Now, what are some of the consequences of unforgiveness? What are the consequences of unforgiveness? Well, first of all, there's disobedience to the Word of God. All right, let's just be honest and come right down to 7745 Tioga Street, that when you are disobedient, when you are unforgiving, that you are being disobedient to the Word of God. I mean, I don't know how else to put it, but, you know, sometimes we gloss it over and say, well, you know, I got the right to feel this way, or, you know, nobody knows the trouble I've seen, and nobody know what I've been through, so I got the right to hold on to this. But no, you don't. You don't, because the Scripture says that you must forgive, and if you are sitting here today with unforgiveness in your spirit, that you are being disobedient to the Word of God. Now, I know it becomes very difficult, you know, when we start dealing with stuff like, well, you know, I was raped as a young lady growing up. My dad raped me repeatedly, and now I'm, you know, all messed up as a result of that. And you know what? I understand that, and God understands that. But I'm going to show you something here in a second that, well, let me go ahead and just share. Let me read this, and then I want to share something with you. You become an emotional prisoner to those that you do not forgive. That they haunt you. That, you know, they're constantly coming up in your mind as an individual, that there's something that's not right between us, and then you begin to just become a prisoner to your unforgiveness. That spirit of unforgiveness will follow you all the days of your life until you deal with it. You'll never get rid of it. It'll always be on your tail. And then not only that, but the door is open for more spiritual, emotional, and physical problems whenever you have an unforgiving spirit. Let me read something to you that I found. And they actually have done studies, and they said, forgive and forget. Easier said than done, right? Well, now studies are showing forgiveness is not only good theology, amen, which is what we've already been saying, it's not only good theology, but it's good medicine as well. According to the latest medical and psychological research, forgiving is good for our souls and our bodies. People who forgive benefit from better immune functioning and lower blood pressure, have better mental health than people who do not forgive, feel better physically, have lower amounts of anger and few symptoms of anxiety and depression, maintain more satisfying and long-lasting relationships. When we allow ourselves to feel like victims or sit around dreaming up how to retaliate against people who have hurt us, those thought patterns take a toll on our minds and bodies, says Michael McCulloch, director for the research of the National Institute of Healthcare. And he said that to forgive is human, but how to put the past in the past is another thing. It's a medical fact that when you forgive, that you are improving the status of your health. Not only is it good theology, but it's good for your health. You know, have you ever, somebody that you've got an issue with? You know, I've had this happen to me. You know, somebody that you had an issue with, And you do everything you can to try to avoid that person. I remember one time I had an issue with this person when I was in high school. And my dad let me use his car. And I was driving my dad's car, and I saw this person coming up the street. And I didn't want them to see me. I didn't want them to wave at me. I didn't want them to do anything. And so there was a street that turned off. And at the last minute, I turned off of the street and ran right into a pole. Why? Because I was trying to get away from somebody else. I was trying to avoid somebody else. And you know, when you have an unforgiving spirit, what do? Man, you're trying to avoid folk. You don't want to be dealing with, you don't want to confront people. You don't want to be in people's presence. When you have an unforgiving spirit, you're trying to avoid them. And it begins to not only wreak havoc on your car or your dad's car, but it begins to wreak havoc on your health. And so from a medical standpoint, it's just easier to have a forgiving spirit. What is a forgiving spirit? What is it not? And I'm getting ready to get into, you know, wind this thing down and land this plane. What is forgiving? What is forgiveness not? It's not denying that something wrong occurred. Some people say, well, if I forgave them, you know, I'm just going to act like it didn't happen. No, that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Well, you know, I feel angry toward this person. I feel bitter toward this person. I feel resentment toward this person. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Now, it might be a part of it, but forgiveness is not a feeling. As a matter of fact, if you make the act to forgive, then the chances are that you'll probably feel better, all right? So forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is not forgetting. And you know, let's be honest. We'll probably never forget some things. I'm just being honest. We can say as much as we want to, well, you know, I'm going to forget about it. No, you're not going to forget about it. You know, it's going to, so for, you can't use forgiveness and forgetting interchangeably. You can't put the two together because there are some things that you won't forget, but you can still forgive. And then we see that forgiveness is not excusing or pardoning or exonerating, because then once again, if you do that, then what you've done is that you've failed to deal with the offense. Let me talk now and help somebody out this morning is what is forgiveness? What is forgiveness? When somebody wrongs you, you can do one of two things, all right? And this is the bottom line to the whole message. Everything that I've said boils down to this point right here. I'm going to help somebody this morning. Maybe you've been sitting there saying, Pastor, you know, I'm dealing with unforgiveness. I need to know how to forgive. It boils down to making a decision. And you can do one of two things when you've been offended and now unforgiveness in your heart. You can, according to one author, you can take a payment or you can make a payment. When you have an unforgiving spirit, you can take a payment or you can make a payment. What is the difference between the two? When you take a payment, what that means is that you withhold forgiveness, that you are dwelling on the wrong, that you are being cold and aloof. That means that you are giving up on the relationship. It means that you are inflicting emotional pain. It means that you are gossiping or you are lashing back by seeking revenge. And you're saying that, you know, this person wounded me, this person hurt me, and I'm going to get a piece of their flesh. You know, sometimes people just want to get a piece of you. You know, they want to get a piece of you. And that means that they want you to understand why they're hurting. And they want you to feel their hurt. And they're going to do everything that they can. You know, you hurt me, and I'm going to take a payment from you. Baby, you're going to pay for this. You're going to pay for it. And I'm going to make you pay for it. And I'm going to do everything in my power to make you pay for it. And some of y'all sitting here today, you know that you've done that. You've been wounded, you've been hurt, and you're going to make that person pay. You're going to seek revenge. You're going to make them feel what you felt, and you're going to take a payment. Now, what if God did that to us? What if God said, look, you hurt me, you wounded me, and now I'm going to take a payment from you. But what did he do? He didn't take a payment. Amen. He made a payment. And how did he make the payment? He made the payment by giving his son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. How do you make a payment? And this is what somebody needs to hear today. This is how you exercise forgiveness. You know, and as I read this, the reason I put this in here, I mean, it's just so simple. And this is forgiveness. This is what you need to do to forgive. It means that you release other people from the penalty they deserve. And how do you do that? By fighting against the painful memories. You will never forget. Those memories will come up. But you can't sit there and meditate and stew on them. When those memories come up, you just can't bathe in those memories. But what do you got to do? You got to fight against them. You got to keep on. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 10? Casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. That when those memories come up, you got to keep on saying, okay, this is not going to benefit me. You know, this is not going to take me anywhere. You know, this is going to take me somewhere where I don't want to go. And you got to begin to fight off those memories. Now, once again, you can't, they're going to be there. But the longer that you let them meditate and the longer that you let them stew, the more that they're going to grab you and cause you to be unforgiving and resentful. You got to fight against the memories. You got to speak gracious words to the person. You know, once again, these are acts that you have to do. You know, it don't cost you anything to be nice to the person that offended you. It don't cost you anything to do the right thing in light of the other person that did you wrong. You've got to tear down the walls that cause this unforgiving spirit to just be built up. You've got to endure the consequences of material or physical injury. You know, you got to continue to just overcome what it is that you're dealing with. That's making a payment. That when I make a payment, it's a choice. And I say, I could go on, according to that article, stressed out, high blood pressure, all this tension in my mind, in my heart. I can go on down this road. Or I can say, hey, baby, today the buck stops here. It stops here. I'm not going to continue to send myself to an early grave. I'm not going to continue to wear myself out. But I'm going to allow myself. And what is it? You know, it's almost like the person that offended you, that they're in prison in your mind. And they're going to pay until you feel that payment is done. But what does forgiveness say? Forgiveness says, not that I'm going to forget it, not that I feel these bitter feelings of bitterness and resentment are gone, but what does forgiveness say? Forgiveness says, look, man, come on out. Come on out. It's not doing me any good to keep you locked up. Come on out. And forgiveness is releasing that other person from that offense. And when we learn how to do that, God can do great things in our relationships. What are some promises of forgiveness? I will not dwell on this incident. I will not bring up this incident again and use it against you. I will not talk to others about this incident. I will not let this incident stand between us or hinder our personal relationship. Wow, it takes a big person to do that. It takes a real big person to do that. But this is how we exercise forgiveness. To not dwell on it, to not bring it up again and use it against the person, to not go on and talk to other people about it, and to not let it stand between us. As we think about forgiveness, do you have an unforgiving spirit today? If so, I just want to let you know that God is here. He's able to give you the power. He's able to give you the strength to overcome the spirit of unforgiveness.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Act of Foot Washing in Relationships. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Power of Forgiveness in Relationships, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Power of Forgiveness in Relationships. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Power of Forgiveness in Relationships. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.